This is Nigel Uzi for See Beyond My Skin, and today I'm thinking about food, but more specifically, vegetables and fruit and where they come from. My guest is Celeste Bennett, a teacher and a farmer who just launched Gifted Hands CSA in Greensboro, North Carolina, which sold out in just 36 minutes. CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. People buy a yearly share, and then the farmer delivers boxes of produce that changes with what's in season. Thanks for being with me today.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited, and this is awesome.
In the U.S., it is sometimes hard to come across fresh organic produce, and even harder to come across Black-owned farms. What made you interested in starting a CSA?
I think it kind of grew out of me loving to garden. I love growing things from a seed, producing something that's just as small as a dot on a piece of paper that's eventually going to turn into something that we eat. And taking people along my journey during the time that I'm planting and growing through social media, it kind of came about where I realized that people were also looking and searching for the same type of food quality that I was searching for. So, I kind of thought and felt like it was only one way for me to supply or make available to people that wanted the same things that I wanted. And I realized as I'm in search of land, there were other ways that I could make it happen. So I kept researching. I kept looking at different models, and I came up with the CSA to open it up to a lot of people that just did not have any they didn't know what CSA meant, had never been a part of a CSA, and they were interested and they really wanted good quality local grown vegetables and fruit. So it kind of grew into its own type of entity or enterprise or business. And it just took off. And I did not expect it to go the way it did. But the program actually sold itself. And because so many people want fresh produce and fruit, I present it. And they just grabbed at it. And, you know, like you mentioned in your intro, within a half an hour, we were totally sold out of membership. So to answer that question, I know I talked a whole lot, but it basically started off with me wanting better quality food, and others watching my journey decided that they wanted that as well.
You have an amazing variety of produce in the CSA, and you are experimenting with other possibilities. With most CSAs, there's a large variety of produce. What do you think are the most popular ones that you offer?
Well, I think a lot of people, they love strawberries, they love blueberries, they love any type of fruit that's fresh and sweet and tasty, especially in the summertime. I think as the season starts to wind down, and you have to kind of look at your demographics and see what people like and what they don't like. As we get closer to the end of the season, pumpkins and squash may not be at the top of the list of what people want. But anything that has fresh green leafy vegetables, when you think about salads and cucumbers, those are all high on the list. But like I mentioned, when the season starts to dwindle down, people are not so much inclined to want a lot of pumpkin and a lot of squash. And that would be winter squash, not necessarily the summer squash.
Has there been any produce that has been particularly hard to grow or rewarding when you grow it?
Definitely. Part of a CSA program, when people buy into it, the gist is that you're sharing the cost and the season with the ups and downs of the season with the farmer. So you can have a farmer that has many, many years of experience growing, let's say, tomatoes. But we never can tell what Mother Nature is going to do. We can have a late frost. We can have a downpour over a lot of days of rain that can make growing something that you've grown very well for many years be very hard to produce for that season. So I think for me, one of the hardest things, and I think I mastered it this past season, it was watermelon. And it was just one simple thing that I had to change in the way I was growing watermelons in order to have a really good crop of watermelons. And it, you know, if I would have said the year before that I would never grow watermelon again, it was because the crop would always fail. Another item that's really hard for me to grow are carrots. And I have not quite mastered how to grow a very straight carrot. A lot of times my carrots, they go in all different directions. Some are really thin, some are thick. But I plan on, I'm going to keep at it until I figure it out, just like I did with my watermelon crop.
That's really interesting. Health and good eating go together. And eating nutritious food is much harder for some people. I've been doing my research about food deserts in lower-income neighborhoods across America. I watched Ron Finley's TED Talk about guerrilla gardening in South L.A. How do you think CSAs can change communities? And do you think you're a community leader?
I do believe that I am a community leader. Because I'm thinking outside of the box to make local items available to people of color. A lot of times, too many generations separated from those in our family that would farm not too long ago. It's just that we have gotten away from it because we only saw one side of farming where we were land rich, but we were house poor. And what that really means is that we had all this food that we were growing and producing and selling, but we couldn't afford to keep the house up. We couldn't afford to put certain food on our table. So as the children of those farmers started to grow up, they moved away from that lifestyle because they wanted something different. And so as a result, a lot of farms owned by people of color, they just started to disappear, okay? And so when they start to disappear, a lot of times when you move to a bigger city, you're trying to acquire that job as an executive or whatever the case may be, it calls for you to do a lot of work hours. And to get away from some of the healthy things that you may have eaten on that farm that your parents owned. And we, with the switch of how food comes into America, we have to kind of figure out, okay, if it's not grown here in our own state or city, and we're eating blueberries or strawberries or maybe even a banana, and we can't even grow bananas here, but if we're eating food that has to come through international waters, that's a long travel time. So what happens to that food where the sun hasn't had a chance to do its job to give us the vitamin D and the nutrients that we need once we consume that food? We have to kind of pick it if it's coming from other countries very early on. And we pick it when it's unripe. So as it's traveling across those many miles and many days to land here in America on our shelves in the grocery store, it has not had a chance to ripen and to get to a point where we eat it and we get what we need from it. So aside from a lot of people thinking that they're eating healthy because they may have consumed more vegetables and more blueberries, you really have to look at where your food is coming from. So I believe with the CSA, you're pushing more local grown food so that it's not picked and placed in the grocery stores too early. So you can get the benefit of the vegetables and the berries and the fruits that you're eating.
Thanks. That's a lot to think about. So, you had this dream to become a farmer, and you're a teacher, a mother, and now you own chickens and a CSA. You must be really busy.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about being a teacher is that you have your summers off. And starting a CSA, so many people wanted to be a part and to buy into a membership, and I kind of put a limit on it because I felt like unless I don't want to take on too many people into my CSA and not be able to produce and do everything that I'm promising to do for those that have joined. So I carve out my schedule to look at and see, based on what it's going to take to run a CSA, how much time do I have? And I kind of cater that time around my summer schedules because teachers have, you know, the summers off. My daughters who are in high school, they love it. So getting them to help is not going to be a hard thing to do. So I have help, and again, I've limited the amount of people that are a part of my CSA. I do intend on growing, and I'm hopeful and I'm prayerful that this will be something that I can do with maybe stepping away from being a teacher, because I know the importance of it. I know that our community needs it, and I also know that when we look at food deserts, they can really benefit from it. So I'm hoping to one day grow it to a point where this can be what it is that I'm doing.
Wow. So that reminds me, there's this quote you have on your social media that says, "Decide what kind of life you actually want, then say no to everything else that isn't that." Is that how you maintain the power of your dream?
Yes, it is. I can tell you that when I go out into my garden, I think about nothing. It takes me away from the hustle and bustle of life. And it makes me feel like I'm connected to nature. I'm connected to God. And I believe that sometimes when we get out into public, into just our communities, sometimes the noise can be so loud that it becomes a distraction. Then we start to self-doubt. Then we start to rethink. And I just believe that when God gives you the vision, he will make it happen and he'll give you everything that you need. But a lot of times we walk in fear. And I believe that we settle and we never reach our true purpose. But if we can hold on to saying no to everything that does not align with what God has called us to do, then we will walk in our true purpose and everything will seem like a beautiful day always, because there will never be a moment where you're not satisfied with what you are doing each day you wake up and you put your feet on the ground.
It seems like you've reached your dream.
It's been a vision, and that's the thing. A lot of people, you know, especially with the younger generation, they just want instant gratification. Well, sometimes it takes a little time to get there. And this is a prime example of it taking a little time to get there. We're still on that journey. But I never walked away. It's just come in different forms. You know, we don't necessarily have all the land or the land that we want, but that didn't stop anything. I have a small post stamp of a garden outside, but I'm able to produce lots and lots of food in that one little small area. So the journey to get there, it has been, you know, a little minute, but I'm going to get there and I haven't stopped.
So patience and work hard. That's some great advice. I want to ask you two questions. How do you see yourself? And how do you fear others perceive you?
I try to go through life, even in leadership positions as a teacher, in doing to others and treating others as I would want to be treated. The hard part of that is everyone does not have that same philosophy or that same belief. But I believe if I continue to maintain, no matter what you may say, no matter what you may do, and I handle you with love, and kindness that at some point you can't continue to fight against that. So I see myself as an extension of what I would want for others and hopefully what others would want for me. Unfortunately, how others may see me may not be in that light, because they may not understand the light that shines on me or why I'm so happy, why I'm so determined to figure out and walk in my purpose. But then there are others that do get it. And I'm grateful for those that do get it and they do understand, and that they can see that I have a heart for any and everyone, especially for those that are kind of behind the eight ball and they may have been dealt a bad hand, and they're trying to pull themselves up from the bootstraps. And those are the ones that I give everybody the same, but those are the ones that I'm really cheering hard for. So I believe that most people that are pure and genuine in their heart will see that. Those that may have some things that they're working on within themselves may not see that my heart is genuine, and I'm like your biggest cheerleader. So for me, so that's how I think people see me, and that's how I also hope that they would see my deeds, and to know that there's nothing that I'm looking for. You know, I'm just being a kind person. There's nothing that I want. I'm just doing what Jesus would want us to do, because we're all just, you know, we're all sisters and brothers. And I always go with the philosophy, I want for you what I want for myself. And I don't want anything bad for myself, so I can't want anything bad for you.
That's really inspiring.
Yes. So the journey that you're on, because I can see you in newsrooms, I can see you on TV, I can see you taking off with your own podcast and it just growing and growing. No matter what, don't let the outside noise tell you to do something different. Do not allow it to be a distraction, because it will be, and it'll be very loud. It'll be so convincing that you'll make yourself believe that this is not for me. But you got to stay focused, write it down, get a vision board, and just repeat it to yourself every day.
Thanks so much.
You are welcome. This is good. I can't wait to hear it play back.
Thanks for sharing your story with me.
Well, thank you for picking me.
What you said was really enlightening.
Well, thank you. And I'm so happy that people are catching on, and it's a story to be told, because as you reach out to me and others are reaching out to just hear what it is that I have to say, it's also building a legacy for not only me, but for my children, because that's how passionate I am with what I'm doing.
You have been listening to Celeste Bennett, farmer and entrepreneur. This is Nigel for See Beyond My Skin. Stay strong and stay true to your story.